Hey, welcome to a gluten-free podcast, the show where we'll be exploring all things gluten-free. I'm your host, Ben. Whether you have celiac disease like me, you're gluten-free for other reasons, or you just want to learn more about the gluten-free diet, then this podcast is for you. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to a gluten-free podcast. This is a weekly show where I talk to people about what they're doing in the gluten-free community, and I also share my own story of having celiac disease and being gluten-free. Before we get into today's episode, I would, as always, like to acknowledge the land on which I'm currently recording this episode on right now, and where my family and I have the absolute privilege to live on. This is, was, and always will be Gundungurra country. And the Gundungurra people are the true custodians of this land. I'd like to acknowledge their elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the stories, traditions, and living cultures of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Also, I'm not a medical professional. I do say this all the time, but anytime I mention anything on this podcast, or my guests mention anything on this podcast related to health or diet, please always remember to seek out your own personal medical advice when it comes to doing anything to your own health or your diet, because what works for me and my guests on this show may not work for you at all. So please always remember to do that. Today is an episode of Gluten-Free Thoughts. This is where I share what's going on in my own celiac and gluten-free journey. I really like to fill you guys in on what's happening in my own gluten-free journey because I'm living this with you. I'm living this gluten-free life. I have celiac disease. A lot of the things that people talk about on this show with me, I'm going through them as well. So I think it's a really interesting insight into how I'm dealing with my own journey. And I was actually umming and ahhing whether to release this episode today. I didn't know whether it would be something that I should actually put out into the world, but I listened to it back and I thought, yeah, I am going to release this episode. I do still sound a little bit under the weather. I recorded it when I was just getting over tonsillitis, so my throat's a little bit off. I swallow quite a lot, but regardless, I think I've got a lot of interesting insights and some tips and tools about how I go about trust issues with celiac disease, how I handle those trust issues and how I've overcome them and how I'm currently, you know, still working on overcoming them. So I think it's an interesting episode. I think you're going to get a lot out of it. And without further ado, let's get straight into it. So I got glutened around a month ago. And the only place I can trace it back to is when I ate at a trusted place that I go to regularly with my family and friends. And it sucked. And I shared this on Instagram and I said, look, I went to this place that I always go to. I asked all the same questions, asked what their celiac safe protocols were in place. And look, a mistake probably happened and I got glutened really bad. And I was out of it for like a week and a half, just horrible symptoms, you know, like mouth ulcers, digestive issues, fatigue, bad mood, constant toilet runs, the works. And yeah, had to take the week basically off work, most of it. And it even lingered into that next week. And it was horrible. When I shared this up on Instagram, so many people sent me a message, sent me DMs, and were just connecting with me and saying, look, I'm going through the same thing at the moment. It sucks. I don't know where the gluten has come from. I got cross-contaminated from somewhere. I don't know if it was a product or a restaurant or a cafe, or like they just can't trace it back. And I was having this conversation with them. And so I posted up another story and I said, look, this is one part of celiac disease, which absolutely sucks. And it seems to be this trust issue that we have when we're either dining out at a new place or even when we're returning to a place that we really trust, like in my case. And we seem to have these trust issues with people who are making our food in general. And I thought I would share this episode with you because I've sort of come up with some strategies to deal with these trust issues and to have these things in place to sort of help me deal with those situations when they come up. So I think you can agree, whether you have celiac disease yourself or you're strictly gluten-free for other reasons, or you know someone who has celiac disease or is gluten-free for other reasons, you will know that it is stressful sometimes, especially around social events and with friends and family. And if you're going to a new restaurant, or if you're even returning to one that you usually trust, it can be really stressful and really awkward. So I'm going to share with you a sort of toolkit to deal with these trust issues that come up with us having celiac disease. And these are things that I've learnt and that have really helped me over the 2 years that I've been diagnosed. I really can't believe I've been diagnosed with celiac disease for 2 years now, but there's been a lot to navigate in that time. And I think that I just want to kind of fast forward the button for a lot of people and sort of tell you, you know, how I've failed at a lot of things, and I've really learnt from those failures and doing things and making mistakes along the way. And I think no one can really teach you how not to do that and how to avoid those things, because I think that does help you learn in so many ways. But I just want to give you some sort of tools and insights into how I've been dealing with my own celiac and gluten-free journey, and that may help you somehow, whether you are newly diagnosed with celiac disease or you know someone who is. So number one, health professionals. When we're first diagnosed with celiac disease, I've spoken to so many people that have been in the same sort of boat. It's taken a long time to get diagnosed, and if they have actually been diagnosed, it's been a rocky, rocky road towards that diagnosis. And usually they've been misdiagnosed with something along the way. Also, it's been treated as IBS, or it's been treated as something else, completely different to celiac disease, and they weren't tested for so long. And I was in that boat, and it does place a massive trust issue within yourself towards the medical system in general. Whether it be that health professional that wasn't diagnosing you at the time, or many health professionals that hadn't beforehand. But the general consensus that I kind of feel, and I did feel this to a degree, is, well, if they were missing celiac disease, if they were missing this thing that I should have been put on a diet for, and that is really treatable with the gluten-free diet, what else are they missing? And I guess going back to a health professional again and again and being told that nothing is wrong with you, I think psychologically that does a lot of detriment to that person. And it did for me as well. I honestly thought that I was going crazy. I talk about that all the time with my guests on this podcast, and they say the same thing. They feel like it's in their head. And I think that's such a horrible place to be in, to feel that way. But eventually, when you are diagnosed and you go on the gluten-free diet and things really improve, life gets a whole lot better. But to look back at that time and going through that process of diagnosis, it's really tricky. And I think that some people don't even, you know, they don't get an answer. They don't get a diagnosis. And that's even worse, because they have a huge mistrust in the medical system, because they know that they're very unwell, but they're not getting an answer for their health. So they just think, well, I'll just throw in the towel, and I don't really want to go back to them. And I think that's a really bad place to get yourself into. And the mistrust in the medical system that you must have at that stage would just be shocking. Really, really bad. So how have I repaired this trust for myself with the medical system? Well, I've done a few things, and it's actually been because of a lot of different perspectives that I've listened to over the years, and also just seeing what was happening during COVID and how much of a hard time the medical system was having with going through that time and even working and putting themselves at risk for the benefit of our health. And I think that has a lot to do with it. It really changed my perspective on health professionals and the medical system in general. And I think that's a really important thing to remember first up, that these people, 99% of them, are there for the right reasons. They're there to make you feel better, to make you a healthier person. They're not there to belittle you and to tell you that you don't know anything about your own health and that you really should be you know, doing a better job. They're there because they want to help you. They want to make you a healthier person. And I think to get that into your head is sometimes it can be a tricky thing because you feel like it's the medical system against you, but it isn't that way. And if you can just really flip that around and know that they are there to help you. So how can you and the health professional you're working with work together to make you healthier? And I think if you come at it from that perspective, that is how I have started to come to it from, and it's really helped me. And also to not be afraid to get a second opinion. That is another huge thing that has really revolutionized the way I look at the medical system. And I wish I was more comfortable with that beforehand. I always felt like you have this relationship with the health professional that you're seeing, and nothing should take away from that. But that couldn't be further from the truth. If you're not getting the healthcare that you think you need and that will make you a healthier person, by all means, go to a different health professional, get a second opinion, because your health is what you are there for in the first place. So don't be afraid to speak up about things and tell them the symptoms you're going through. Ask for checkups. If you want to get tested for something, really push to get tested for that. If you know that health professional isn't seeing eye to eye with you, that's okay to get a second opinion and to search somewhere else, because it's really important to do that. I now have a GP who is really fantastic and is looking into every aspect of celiac disease and doing all the right checkups and even thinking of things that are a bit out of the box that, you know, we should test for this, we should test for that, and to really make sure that everything is aligned in my health. And if anything is looking a little bit out of whack, then I'm able to, you know, bring up what's going on, and they're able to just really be on top of it. And it's a great feeling to know that is being looked after, you know. It makes a massive difference when you feel like you're on the same page as the medical professional that you're seeing. Okay, so the next trust issue that we'll speak about is eating out at new places, so new restaurants or cafes or going to an event even, or even a trusted place that you've been to before, but you still have a bit of an anxiety about maybe you had a flare up from eating there before, or you had a friend who was gluten-free and had a flare up, and you're at this place now and you're deciding whether you should eat or not, or, you know, you're looking at an app and you found that there's been a couple of bad reviews, but some people have reviewed good things. I've been in that situation so many times. I'm like, should I eat here or shouldn't I? It's such a tricky thing. So there's a couple of trust issues at play here, which I think are important to bring up. And I think it really makes a difference in your experience eating out at either a new place or a place that you're returning to. So first off, it depends who you are eating with. And that group of people that you have chosen to go to this new cafe or restaurant with, or whether you're just going by yourself, that really does make a massive difference. So you need to check with the wait staff to make sure that they know that this meal needs to be prepared 100% gluten-free. And when it gets to the kitchen, when that order gets to the kitchen, that there isn't going to be any cross-contamination whatsoever, so that there isn't any gluten-containing food being made next to or on top of your gluten-free meal, and that everything is going to be fine with your meal and it's going to get to you without any cross-contamination. Always check that they have a separate fryer if you're getting anything fried gluten-free, and that they're not doing, you know, gluten-containing food in that fryer with the gluten-free food. And meals can always be adapted, and I think that's a thing to always remember as well. If there is no gluten-free food listed and you're in a bit of a dire situation and you really do need some food, just double check that the chefs or the cooks or whoever is in the kitchen making your food know that things can be adapted, but as long as they are safely adapted, and to always ask those questions. And if you don't get a good vibe, I think it's so important to know, if you don't get a good vibe from the place, feel free to just walk out the door. You're not going to offend anybody. And at the end of the day, you're looking out for your own health. And that's more important than, you know, a wait staff getting annoyed at you, because them getting annoyed at you is nothing compared to you being sick and bent over a porcelain bowl for a couple of days feeling like crap. So just always remember that it's just not worth it if you're getting that really bad vibe. And if you are going with a group of people to an event, or you're just going to a new restaurant or a cafe, just to make that group aware, or at least, you know, one person in that group about your dietary requirements if they don't already know them, because I think that makes a huge difference. You can have someone else then advocating for you, which takes a lot of pressure off a lot of the time, and they can start to ask a few of those questions so you don't feel like the odd one out and that you have to stand up and advocate for yourself and sort of be that one when the order comes to you that you have to ask a million questions. Which, look, there's nothing wrong with that, but to have another person there to sort of help you through that, it can be easier advocating for someone else a lot of the time than it is for ourselves. I've always found that. But to have someone else there to really advocate for you and to make sure that you're getting a safe gluten-free meal just makes an absolute world of difference. And to let people know that you're on this diet for medically required reasons, not that you are on it to, you know, keep up with the latest health trends, which a lot of people unfortunately think when they think gluten-free. No, you are on this for a medically required reason, to stay healthy. It's your only prescription for health. And I think when you frame it in that way, people are a lot more understanding and they're a lot more willing to help you, just knowing that, geez, you need this for medically required reasons, otherwise you'll get really sick. That's a really important thing to remind people. And it's also a really important thing to remind the people who are taking the order of your meal and who are also making your food in the kitchen. I think it's a really important thing to get across that you are on this diet for medically required reasons, and they do take that much more seriously. And please tell them if you have celiac disease. That's the first thing I say whenever I'm eating out at somewhere new. I have celiac disease. And then I just usually wait for a reaction and they tell me what their cross-contamination protocols are and what meals are gluten-free. And if they don't understand that and I don't get a good vibe, then usually I just don't eat there. And I don't have a problem with not doing that because I want to have a safe meal and I don't want to be sick from a repercussion of eating a meal that isn't safe. So I think to get that across first off is really, really important. So something else I think people with celiac disease struggle with is this hypervigilance idea. So when we're eating out at somewhere new, especially, our anxiety levels are getting pretty high. And I think that that is something that people need to take into account when you're going to a new place and you don't know what the celiac safe protocols are at this place and whether they know how to make gluten-free food, 100% gluten-free food, and how not to cross-contaminate a meal. You're always sort of thinking about how the staff taking your meal, taking your order, whether you said the right things, whether you should run to the kitchen and say, oh, I hope I said the right thing. I hope I ordered the right meal. And sometimes I've found actually eating at a new place, especially earlier on in my diagnosis, but even now, it's actually a very stressful thing. And to be honest, at sometimes it takes away from the experience. I'm sitting there with friends or family and more of my head and my headspace is thinking about how the meal is being prepared in the kitchen versus actually having a conversation and being present with the people I'm with. And that's a horrible space to be in. But unfortunately, that is the place we find ourselves sometimes, having celiac disease and being in these really awkward situations where we're really hypersensitive to everything that's going on around us. And I think it's a really important thing to remember. This is something that I've been working on myself, and I'll talk about some other things that I've been working on to sort of deal with those hypervigilance issues with celiac disease. But one of the things that really helps me when I'm stuck in those moments is to sort of just take a bit of a deep breath, and to come to something else in the present and to know that you've done all you can, especially when you've been up front and you've ordered your meal correctly and you've asked all the right questions. To be honest, the power is sort of out of your hands at that stage, and you have to have trust in the people who are making your meal. I think that's all it really comes down to, and hopefully that they have done a really good job in preparing your meal and that you shouldn't have anything else to worry about, and to sort of bring yourself back to the present moment. And one thing that I've found, and I've been doing a lot of work on this with listening to different audiobooks and reading a lot of self-development books, this idea to just bring yourself back and sort of center yourself. And one fantastic way of doing that is feeling your feet on the ground. Just feeling that they are on the ground, and to feel that sensation of your feet just being on the ground and being grounded. I know that may sound like a bit of a woo-woo hippie thing, but it seriously works. It brings you back to yourself and being present. And I think that that can be a really helpful thing to sort of get your mind back into the conversations of the people around you and your mind off worrying about the meal that's coming out to you. So when the meal does come out to you, please always check that it is the gluten-free meal that you ordered. So just to say, oh, thank you, so this is the gluten-free such and such. And they'll say, yep, yep. A couple of times actually at a wedding that my wife and I were at not too long ago, a meal came out and my wife, it was so noisy, and I had a couple of drinks at this stage. My wife actually asked, oh, this doesn't look like the gluten-free meal that my husband ordered. And the waitstaff said, oh, I am so sorry, I've put down the wrong plate, and got me another plate. And I thought, oh, geez, like, I wasn't even looking. I was talking to someone else at the table. And obviously, as I said, I had a couple of drinks at that stage as well. So I think that that's such an important thing to remember. I'm so glad that my wife is a huge advocate. She is the biggest advocate for me, and I think always will be. And I'm so grateful for that. But to have that in mind, that just to double check that when the meal comes out, just to say, thank you so much, so this is the gluten-free so-and-so, and that could save you getting very, very sick. Also, within the psychology space, there's this idea of exposure therapy. So don't worry, I'm not talking about going out there and eating little bits of gluten. No way, there's no way I would advocate for that. Please stay 100% gluten-free if you have celiac disease, or you're strictly gluten-free for other reasons on a medically required diet. I'm not telling you by any means to do that. But what I'm talking about here is exposing yourself to actually going into those situations, which may be a little bit difficult, where you have to ask those questions to wait staff and the people who are making your meals and management, whoever it is, but actually putting yourself into those situations so you know how to deal with them. And I think that's super important. Obviously, it's been pretty hard during COVID lockdowns and not being able to eat at certain restaurants and cafes, but I think to just get used to actually going to different places where you haven't eaten before and having those conversations with those staff, it really just gets you used to the questions that you have to ask and sort of what to look out for in facial expressions even and gestures and how you can gauge someone's reaction to, okay, I feel really safe to eat here, or no, I'm getting a bit of a bad vibe, I'm not going to eat here. And I think most of the time, our gut reaction, pun intended, is spot on. We're usually right on the money with it. So I think just to listen to ourselves and how we're feeling in that moment is super, super important. But yeah, just to expose yourselves to that situation of having to ask those really awkward and hard questions a lot of the time, because you'll get better at it. Like anything, you will get better. I'm still getting better each time I'm at a new restaurant or a cafe. I'm discovering new ways of saying things and new ways of framing it. And it gets easier each time. So the next trust issue that we'll talk about is eating at a family or friend's place. So at their home or wherever they live. So this could be eating there again, you're returning to eat there again, or you're eating there for the first time, which can be a little bit more tricky. So the number one thing with these situations is communication. Communication is absolute key. And I guess you have that on your side with family or friends, because usually we're a bit more closer to these family or friends than we are to just an acquaintance that we're meeting for the, you know, for the first time, or that you're going on a date with, which can be a whole other different realm. I might explore that in this podcast at some stage, but yeah, when we have that on our side with family and friends, we can be a bit more open with them and sort of talk to them about some deeper stuff. And obviously if we have dietary requirements, that is something that they really need to know. Especially if they are preparing food for us, we have to be upfront about telling them about our dietary requirements and how we can be catered for gluten-free. And you want them to know that you're on this diet, like we were talking about before, when you're eating out with friends and family at a new place, that you're on this diet for medically required reasons. You're not just doing it for the sake of it. But communication is absolute key. So ringing in advance, telling them how you can be catered for gluten-free, if the meal can be sort of changed to be gluten-free just for your meal, or sometimes just even changing a sauce or something really simple in the dish can make the entire meal gluten-free. I think that's the thing to remind people, that so many dishes and so many different meals can be made gluten-free very, very easily with just a few tiny substitutions or changes, and it's really not that hard. And family and friends, look, they want to look out for us. They want us to be happy and healthy, and they really want the best for us. But sometimes we can really have bad trust issues with the people who are making food for us if they don't know how strictly we need to be on this gluten-free diet, and how even just a tiny bit of gluten can really cause a lot of harm to us. So for them to know that, I think is super important, that it's not just having like a bit of a bad stomach and we'll get a bit bloated and that's it. This is causing really bad damage to us and causing us horrible health outcomes in the long term if we do get cross-contaminated a lot. So I think that's a really important thing to remind people. And I think that that's where the trust issues can come into play, that we are sort of second guessing things a lot of the time, especially if we're eating at somewhere new. We sort of have those same feelings that when we're eating out somewhere else new, and that hypervigilance can come into play. But then you also have this added layer of the socially awkward aspects of dealing with friends or family on top of that. So you may not say things that you usually say when you're out at a restaurant or a cafe or to wait staff, that wouldn't, grilling them and asking them a whole bunch of questions, the wait staff at a cafe or a restaurant, would feel very different to grilling a friend or a family member about like how they're making your meal. But maybe you have that relationship with them, and if so, that's awesome that you can be that open and really blunt about things. But most of us can feel pretty awkward in those sort of situations. But I think just again to remember that this is your own health, and you're taking precautions to look out for your own health, and you're only doing this so you can work with them so that you can get a safe gluten-free meal. Because yeah, you don't want the alternative. You don't want to get sick and then have those awkward conversations. So there's a couple of things that we can do to alleviate those trust issues that we have with friends or family when they're making our foods. So obviously just being super upfront, like communication is absolute key in these situations. So letting them know that certain dishes can be made gluten-free very easily, or at least gluten-free, 100% gluten-free for you. And just to sort of educate them on celiac disease and the gluten-free diet and how you can just have a safe dish without much trouble. And it's really not that hard. When surfaces are cleaned and when clean utensils are used and your meal is, you know, kept away from other gluten-containing meals, it's really not that much of an effort. And to let people know that you can have a safe meal without having, you know, too much of a trouble making it in the first place. And if you're really feeling uncomfortable, maybe just to give them a hand in the kitchen so that you can be a part of the process if they're comfortable with that. And then you're really in the driver's seat with them and you can show them really how to make this food 100% gluten-free, and you can see what they're using, what utensils they're using, chopping boards, and where the gluten is compared to the gluten-free containing, and you can check labels. That's another thing as well for whoever's making your meal, to really check those labels to make sure there's absolutely no gluten in them. That can be a little tricky for people who aren't gluten-free already and that don't understand how to read labels. So that's another thing to take into account as well. So one thing to talk about in this realm of eating at family or friends' places is if you have a bad experience, and that can really taint the idea of going back there. And I can completely understand this because this happened to me very early on in my diagnosis at a very close family event. And it was horrible. It was so bad because obviously it was just something very, very minor. I think it was just a simple label that wasn't read or something that was added. There was no chance of cross-contamination because they even bought new plates and they bought a whole new pan, which wasn't even really necessary. You can just wash a pan if it has had gluten-containing food in there. That's completely safe. As long as it's all washed out, all the gluten's out of there, it's completely fine. But so they went next level. And so I felt so bad, even though doubly, because I was having this reaction of getting glutened, but also that, they had gone to all this trouble. So I was feeling bad for them while feeling really bad inside myself. And it was a horrible experience. And then they obviously felt so bad for making me sick. And then we had to go home early. And it was just this horrible experience. But I have obviously since returned to eat there, and we've had some great meals together and it's been awesome, but it's just been this, it's been an eye-opening experience for them to know, wow, this is the reaction that this has had on this person. It's like, this is super serious. And I do not doubt for a second that they knew it was a super serious autoimmune disease that I have, but just to know and to see that reaction, they have taken steps to be super, super careful. So anytime that any food is made at that place, they always check with me and they say, look, this is what we're using. Is this absolutely safe to do? I'm putting, the pan in this in like at the top of the oven instead of the bottom of the oven. Is that all good? And they're always double checking everything. And sometimes it's even a little bit overboard, but that's okay because, obviously I don't want to get cross-contaminated again from there, but it's great to know that they've learned from that experience. And I think that that's a really important thing to remember, that family and friends, they really do just want what's best for us and they want to keep us happy and healthy. And so to really work on knowing that whether you're eating out at a cafe or a restaurant, whoever's making our food, if we don't know them, if we do know them, no one's out to attack us. Also, just to be able to have a bit of a laugh with these family and friends and just to recognize what a crazy bonkers disease that we have, and explaining it is even weird sometimes. People's faces go like, what? What is that? or they just don't really understand it. And just to have a bit of a laugh about it, I think that's super, super healthy at the end of the day, because it's a crazy situation that we're in. And, to just acknowledge that and to sort of say that, yeah, it's a weird disease, I feel really awkward about it. And, but this is the diet that I have to be on to keep myself healthy. So, yep, let's have a bit of a laugh about it. And, but this is my life. So the next trust issue that comes into play is your own body. So there's trust issues that I've had in my own body, and I have questioned why it's working against me and why I have this autoimmune disease and why this autoimmune disease is literally turning on my immune system and attacking itself or me in the process. Like, why have I got this disease? What the hell? Why me? Why is my body doing this? And these are questions that I ask myself all the time. Even 2 years on, it's like some days you're just like, why have I got chosen to have this disease? This sucks. Yeah, it does. And just to remember that it's not your fault and that you didn't choose this life to have celiac disease and to be strictly gluten-free. And I'm sure if you could eat gluten again, that you would happily do so, as would I. But to know that, you know, that is life. And those are the cards that we're dealt. That is, it's really hard to come to terms with that. But sometimes we just have to, you know, state the facts. And I think acceptance is a huge part to play here. You know, our bodies are the way that they are. And until there is a cure for this disease, which, you know, many people are working very hard towards, I speak to a lot of people on this podcast about, we need to keep on this strict gluten-free diet to stay healthy. So the ways that I've dealt with this to fully understand, you know, why my body is doing this has been a real game changer. To know the science and the facts behind celiac disease and the gluten-free diet and why our bodies do what we do, I think that that's been a really, really interesting path for me to deal with that. And look, this has come from a lot of different forms. So it's been from people who I have literally spoken to on this podcast, who I've had as guests on this podcast. They have taught me so much. It's also come from appointments with a dietitian that I saw, from a gastroenterologist, from speaking to my GP, from speaking to all those health professionals. That has been a really big game changer. And just to speak to these health professionals as well, it also helps to rule out other stuff going on. So other health issues that you may be having that you wouldn't have thought of. And I had some procedures done this year, which I talked about on a previous Gluten-Free Thoughts episode. And that was to rule out some other underlying health issues going on. And everything was okay, thankfully. And I am really healing in my celiac disease journey, and my villi have all come back and they're all working properly. So I'm really thankful for that. But I think it's really important to rule out those other things going on, just to put your mind at ease. And speaking of putting your mind at ease, that is actually the last trust issue that I want to talk about, the mental aspect of dealing with celiac disease. And it's perhaps the most important, in my opinion, because if we don't have things together mentally, we really struggle with the rest of everything. And the rest of it is kind of pointless, to be honest. If we're not mentally fit, then we can't be physically fit. It just goes hand in hand. So we all know the mental struggles that we face with trusting our own thoughts sometimes. And this is amplified by celiac disease 100%. Questioning our minds, what our minds are telling us, and if it's a good idea to eat certain food, if we've been glutened or not. And it's a super hard thing to get your mind around, and even just to get your mind around being diagnosed in the first place. There are a lot of mental issues that go along with, you know, like we're talking about the hypersensitivity issue and the social aspect and feeling like you're left out and, you know, depression, anxiety. There's a lot of things that, you know, the mind is altered with this disease, even before diagnosis and after diagnosis and being glutened. I mean, it's being proven and it's being researched by Beyond Celiac at the moment, actually in the US, and be really interested to learn more about all that research that they're doing there. But the ways I've been dealing with the mental aspect of having celiac disease, I'm going to a therapist now. I'm going to a psychologist, and that's been really helpful. I haven't seen them lately, but I will be making a new booking, hopefully very soon, and just discussing what's going on in my life and to talk about celiac disease and the gluten-free diet and how that is impacting me mentally, and to have some tools in place that can really help me in my day-to-day life. And to sort of segment the aspect of celiac disease away from the rest of your life so that you are not, that is not everything that you are. You know, you are not a celiac. you know, you live with celiac disease. It's just one of the very many aspects of your life and who you are as a person. And yes, you have to be on this strict gluten-free diet and you have this disease, but it is not you. It doesn't encompass your whole being. And I think that's a really important thing to remember. And that has been something that my therapist has really worked with me on. And also a couple of other things that have really helped in that side of things are exercise. I exercise as much as I possibly can, even outside of work. I have a very physical job and I'm very thankful for that. I get a lot of sun and I get outside, I'm exercising, I'm using tools. So I'm using my body all the time. And I found that that is a huge, huge factor in making me feel better. But also journaling has been an absolute essential tool for me to write down my feelings and what I'm going through each day. I've actually used something that Hugh Van Kylenberg from the Resilience Project, he wrote a fantastic book and he has a podcast, The Imperfects. You should go check that out if you're into mental health and improving yourself personally. It's a great podcast. Him and his brother and Ryan Shelton do a podcast together, The Imperfects, and it's great. And I would really encourage you to go check that out. But something that he talks about is gratitude, empathy, and mindfulness. So I've started using that in my journal and just writing down something that I'm grateful for, something that I've done that's been empathetic, where I've used empathy in my day, and where I've been doing some mindfulness each day as well. And these are three things which are really, really powerful, even if you're just writing down in a journal each night. And just reflecting over your day and how you can, you know, improve on the next day. And there's always a way that we can improve on the next day, but just to focus on the positives and what happened that was really positive in your days. I think it's really important to remember that. So please seek out some help from mental health professionals. It's as easy as going to your doctor, speaking to them about what you're going through, that maybe you're having a bit of trouble dealing with celiac disease and the gluten-free diet, and that you just need, you know, to go and speak to someone and to get some things off your chest. It is really as easy as that. And I always thought that, you know, going to see a mental health professional was a bit scary, and you know that I would be chucked into the loony bin, but it's really nothing like that. And again, they are there to just, you know, help you feel better and help you manage your life and what you're going through. And they can really give you some great tools and insights and perspectives into looking at things in a different way and helping you deal with what you're going through, which is, you know, it's so helpful. And if people are there and willing to help you, then, you know, why not take advantage of that? So I've started seeing a psychologist. As I said, I wish I saw one years ago because I think it would have been a huge help with different things that have happened in my life. And I would have been able to have some tools up front to be able to deal with that. But look, I'm so glad that I have seeked out that professional help now and that I'm getting that help now because it's been so helpful. A lot of us in the celiac and gluten-free community, we take a lot on, and it's a lot to deal with. It is a massive amount to deal with, but we're a very resilient bunch. If that's one thing that I've learned through doing this podcast and doing all the advocacy work that I do and speaking to so many people with celiac disease and who are strictly on the gluten-free diet for medical reasons, we are a seriously resilient bunch. And we stick together. We seem to stick in packs and we look out for each other, but we take a lot on. And it's a lot that people don't understand and that they can't see. And I think when you're dealing with a sort of silent disease like that, where you're taking on a lot, but people don't see that you're taking on a lot, that can be a big toll. And I think to have someone to be able to air these things with and to be able to chat to them, it can make a huge, huge difference. So I hope that this episode has been helpful to you, you know, whether you are newly diagnosed or whether you know someone who is, or whether you've been on the gluten-free diet for ages and you've been diagnosed for a while, but maybe I brought up some things that you haven't thought of yet and that you think that you could apply to your own gluten-free life. That is awesome if that is the case. And If you know someone who's newly diagnosed and could really benefit from this episode, please send it to them. And yeah, get into contact with me. Tell me what you thought of the episode. As I said, I just posted this up as a story one day on Instagram that I had a flare up, didn't know where it came from. And the amount of people that contacted me and told me that they were going through a similar thing and that it would be really helpful to hear my perspectives and my insights and what I've learned over my 2 years of dealing with this disease and what I continue to learn. It's always changing, as I said. It was just overwhelming, and I thought I had to make this episode and put it out there into the world. I hope you're enjoying this podcast as much as I'm enjoying making it for you. I've got heaps of awesome guest episodes coming up as always, so please tune in for them. If you want to contact me, please do so. I love hearing from you guys and, you know, how you're listening to this podcast and where you're listening to this podcast. Please tag me on your Instagram story so I can see that. So take care of yourself, and I will see you back here next time. Thanks so much for taking the time to join me here on a gluten-free podcast. If you're enjoying it and think someone else would too, please share it with them. Also, I'd really appreciate you giving a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you're listening on. You can find me on Instagram at a.gffamily or send an email to aglutenfreefamily@gmail.com. I'll add all this info in the show notes. Until next time, bye for now.